Today we have a very interesting time, beginning of Pesach, very important moment in our lives, very important moment. And I want to focus on Pesach and especially on the very important lesson from the Passover. Be faithful to the end. Let us say together, be faithful to the end. I mean, English, it's very tricky language. What does it mean to the end? Two-thirds, is it end or not yet? Maybe half is somewhere an end. No, be faithful to the end. Many historic events distinguish our people from other people groups, but none is of greater importance to us. None is more remembered by us than the great days of our deliverance from our slavery from Egypt, in Egypt. How well we recall our incredible liberation when the Lord, by His mighty hand, brought us up out of Egypt. When He brought 10 judgments upon the land of our captivity. When He parted the sea that blocked our flight and then rolled it back upon an army of Egyptian chariots. And every year since that day, we gather with family and friends to commemorate and celebrate that mighty miracle and to repeat for ourselves the entire story of our exodus from bondage in Egypt. It is a great time to remember our days, the history. We who are Messianic believers understand that the Messiah is no longer an expectation, but a realization. It is very important to remember. Therefore, we celebrate this holiday in its fullness as a Messianic believers. It is our privilege to celebrate fullness of Passover. We can boldly celebrate our Messiah, who is our Passover, our Exodus, the Passover lamb slain for us. We can celebrate Yeshua, our Passover lamb. Let us open 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. This is a very important place of the scriptures. Get rid of the old habits. Get rid of the old habits. So you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened, for Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Certainly, we join our people as they rejoice in the history of that first Passover. But we also celebrate the fulfillment of its prophetic and spiritual implications. So dramatic was our release from the bondage of Egypt. So dramatic our release from the bondage of sin. We are free in the Messiah Yeshua. The long foreshadowed Messiah has come. And only through the blood of the perfect sacrifice is there salvation and the opportunity to accomplish the great exodus, exodus from sin and death. The first Passover was the exodus of the Jewish people from Egyptian slavery and the birth of Israel as a people with its own structure, laws, and self-determination. It was the first exodus. The second Passover offered relief from the most terrible kind of slavery, the slavery of sin and death, and resulted in the birth of a new people, children of God. Mazel tov, children of God. We are here in this place only because of Yeshua, who through accepting the sacrifice of the Messiah become new creatures, free from fear, free from eternal death. It is so good to live without fear, fear of death, with love of Messiah. It's so good. At the first Pesach, more than 2 million Jews were joined by many from other people group living in Egypt, and all left Egypt together as one nation. The second Pesach brought deliverance of a very different kind, first to the Jews, but to everyone else also. The first Pesach was a one-time event in Egypt, one-time event. The second Pesach began more than 2,000 years ago, bringing deliverance first to the people of Jerusalem. And to this day, more than 2,000 years, still offering deliverance to millions of people all around the world. It is great Pesach. Yes, the first Pesach was an event of great significance, but how much greater, how incredibly more significant is the second Pesach. One of the greatest prophets of Israel, Yohanan the Mercer, or as some Baptists would say, one of ours, John the Baptist, yeah, King James Version, John the Baptist. Yohanan the Mercer, he was a Jewish man, Jewish prophet. When he saw Yeshua coming to Jordan, he exclaimed, this is the John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And every Jew, no matter how religious he was, knew the meaning of the Passover lamb, everyone there. He had experienced the annual slaying of the Passover lamb, and he knew the prophetic meaning of the Pesach, the exodus from the slavery of death and sin. It is so important to remember. At the time when Yohanan came on the scene, messianic expectations had reached their peak. It was on the highest place of expectation. Jewish people expected the Messiah. They were tired of the emptiness, the absence of prophets, the lack of the knowledge of God. They were tired of Roman authority. Even the priesthood system was corrupt at that time. It was a difficult time. Judaism of that day was the religion of tradition, and people were hungry for spiritual life. They had enough. They wanted to have revival. Therefore, these few words on their ears, "the Lamb of God, behold, the Lamb of God," were absolutely stunning, more gripping than many sermons, louder than a shofar blast. It was so important to hear these words. This was the beginning of a new era of the Messiah. From these words, it was proclamation of new era, new beginning. Can you imagine here? Moses announced the coming of the Torah. It was a glorious moment for people of Israel. Yohanan announced the coming of the Messiah. How glorious it was. In the scripture, Yohanan was also called the voice of Elijah. Matthew 11:14, Yeshua said, "And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come." It is about Yohanan the Mercer. Elijah was the prophet who ushered in the spiritual awakening, the spiritual revival from idolatry to faith in the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the same way, Yohanan opened the door for the Messiah. He ushered in a great awakening, a revival, and the salvation of the whole world through his proclamation. He opened the door for Messiah to come. In the time of Exodus, the blood of the lamb was to be put on the doorposts and the head jamb of the door into the house. When the destroyer, the angel of death, passed by, he did not have the power to kill the firstborn in any house which was so marked by the blood at the door. The blood of the lamb was the price of the redemption of the life of that firstborn. The blood of the lamb. Let's say together, the blood of the lamb. In the same way, but much greater way, the blood of Messiah, the Passover lamb, was the price of our redemption. He is the price. It became our salvation. So now here's a very important lesson from the first Exodus. And this is what in my heart for this year, really in my heart, it's deeply in my heart, I would like to share with you. millions of people went out of Egypt, millions of people, and began the journey to the land of promise. But of all of those multitudes who had been born in Egypt and who made great exodus, only two people were able to actually enter the promised land. I mean, what a lesson here. Out of 2 million people, multitudes, only two people were able to enter the promised land. And you remember their names? Yeah, at least one person knows. Thank you, Elizabeth. Two, three, yeah. Joshua and Caleb, yeah, for sure. Why? Maybe they were, I mean, beautiful people or smart enough or greatest people of all? No. Only because they were obedient and kept the faith in God. They were obedient to the Lord through all their lives. Here's a thought that really deserves our consideration. This is very important to remember. Our task, we need not only to accept Yeshua by faith. It is necessary. It's the first step. Let's say together, first step. But you know, after the first step, it is always the second step. And it's not enough because it's the third step. It is the first step. We need not only to accept Yeshua by faith, not only to know the prophecies about Him, but it is equally important to keep faith in Him to the end. It is our task from the Lord. A very important passages from the Bible for today, what I would like to read. Let us open 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. And let us read together, because it's important. Keep your eyes on this scripture. Always remember them. This is about Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to everyone who has longed for his appearing. Amen. And the second place, it is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It is very interesting to compare those two verses together, because in both verses we find the word crown. Crown of righteousness in the first place of Scripture, and crown of life in the second place of Scripture. The word used for crown is Stephanos in Greek, which can also refer to a reward or laurel wreath. In the original Greek Olympics, the winner of the sport competitions was awarded the Stephanos, the laurel crown. It was for a winner. I want to read one example of Stephanos in the Bible, in the Scriptures. It is in Acts chapter 7, started with verse 55. This is a very interesting place of Scripture, Acts 7:55. But Stephen, full of the Ruach HaKodesh, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and crying out with a loud voice, they rushed at him with one impulse. Driving him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. It is the same Saul who will become, in future, who will become Shaul, Paul, Apostle Paul. They went on stoning Stephen as he was calling out, "Lord Yeshua, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." After he said this, he died. What a story. We need to remember this story. We need to read it and remember it. What a lesson for us. The name Stephen in Greek, Stephanon, derived from the word Stephanos, crown. He was a man who kept faith in Yeshua and walked in his righteousness to the end of his life. He was ready to lose his life as a price, and he won. He was worthy to inherit the crown of life because he was worthy. He was stable. He was faithful. Only those who accept the righteousness of the Messiah, who preserve it and walk in it to the end, will be able to inherit eternal life. It is so simple, and it is so important to remember. It is the call from the Lord to us today. How important it is to be obedient and faithful, not only to get out of the Egypt or out of the sin, but also to enter the promised land, to go through your whole life in complete trust in the Lord. It is very important. Amen. And remember that the Hebrew word for faith and trust has a very similar meaning. Trust in the Lord. Obedient. Walk with Him. And also, we must always be aware that the enemy of our souls is doing everything possible to lose us in the wilderness every day, to turn our focus away from Yeshua. Revelation 21:7, "The one who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Who? Who overcome. It is very important. Let us say together, overcomes. Who overcomes? It is so simple, but it's so important to remember. Not the one who starts his path well with Yeshua, but who goes through whole life on this path receives a reward. A good start without a good finish doesn't get you anything. Good beginning and good finish. Certainly, there have been many people called by the Lord who were short of patience, who were not sensitive to the Lord's timing, who didn't keep trust, who became disappointed with the Lord and walked away. Now, I would like to remind us, it is so important to keep Yeshua in front of our eyes, always. As we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, to keep Him in front of us. Do not let ourselves to look somewhere else, to keep Him, because He is the Aleph and the end. He is the beginning and the end. He is everything for us. I would like to give a very instructive story from the life of our people of Israel, and we have only 2 hours in the service. Yeah, we need to cover everything. But let's read together. I'm joking. We have a couple minutes. The story happened right before the days of the great Passover, when Yeshua entered Jerusalem on a donkey. And let's read Matthew 21, verse 8 and 9 together. I mean, let's keep an eye on this place of Scripture. "Most of the crowd spread their clothing on the road, and others began cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going before him and those following kept shouting, saying, 'Hashiana to Ben David, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hashiana in the highest.'" The second place in John 12, it is even more instructive. "The next day, the huge crowd that had come up for the feast," it was Passover, "heard that Yeshua was coming to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Melech Israel.'" Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. The King of Israel. Verse 19. "So the Pharisees say to each other, you see that you can't do anything. Look, the whole world was taken off after him. What a glorious moment it was. The Pharisees were afraid that all of Israel was following Yeshua. Thousands of people. Thousands of Jews believed in him and praised him as their king and Messiah. It turns out that many Jews of Jerusalem accepted Yeshua as their Messiah there when he comes into Jerusalem. And please remember that the Jews in Jerusalem were the most religious people in Israel and the most knowledgeable of the Torah and the prophets. And they accepted him as the Messiah. They proclaimed him to be the son of David. This is the title of the Messiah who, according to prophecies, was to restore the kingdom of Israel and bring the long-awaited freedom to the Jewish people. They praised Yeshua and saluted him with special prayers, as the king's Messiah shouting, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Do you remember Shans and Maya wedding? We had this special song, this special prayer. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the prayer to Messiah to come. And they took palm branches in their hands and prayed the traditional ancient prayer on Hashanah Rabbah, the prayer called Hashanot. Does this remind you the holiday of Sukkot? We have branches, we have Hashanot, we have all these prayers. On Sukkot, we take the lulav and etrog in our hands and shake it in front of us, and we pray the Hashanot, the traditional prayer, Hazana, save us and have mercy on us. Yeshua was accepted as the Messiah and the King by the most religious and knowledgeable people of Israel, by the Jews of Jerusalem at the time. But let's see what happened with the people in a short time after that. The same crowd that prayed and greeted Yeshua with the words, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Son of David, the King of Israel. The same people, after a while, began to cry out just as loudly, Crucify him. Yesterday, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, in a couple days, crucify him. What is the reason why there was such a drastic change in their views and behavior? I believe that one of the main reasons why they changed their minds is that they had wrong expectations of Messiah and did not keep trust in him. They had wrong expectations. They expected the Messiah who would ascend to the throne of David and defeat the enemies of Israel. They were expecting him as a king, but they did not recognize the Messiah that the prophet Isaiah spoke of in the 53rd chapter, who came to die for the sins of the people and bring atonement and redemption from the biggest enemy of mankind, the enemy even more notable than the Romans. That enemy was sin and death. Those Israelites got their beliefs confused. They began a celebration appropriate for Sukkot, but it was a Passover time. It was Passover. It is very important to remember this. In Zechariah chapter 14, says that all nations will come to worship in Jerusalem for Sukkot, and that the Messiah will be king over all the earth, and Israel will be clothed with the glory of the Lord. But Yeshua came first as the Passover lamb, the Messiah who will bring atonement for our sins and by his death. And because of their wrong beliefs, his actions did not fulfill their expectations and left them feeling very disappointed in him. They were expecting king, but he came as a lamb the first time. Some of them allowed the joy and worship of the Messiah in their hearts change into anger and thirst of punishment. What a lesson this is for all of us here today. we need to remember this lesson. We are all tempted to be impatient because often we think that God did move fast enough for us. We want Him to move faster. We want Him to answer us faster. He may give us a calling, but it may take a time and preparation for us to answer the call of God. It may take time. So we need to be careful and wise to keep the faith and patiently prepare our ways. Be patient. Keep faith. Walk with Yeshua. Today I'm praying that each of us will be able to fulfill the great Exodus. And after that, not to become lost in the wilderness of unbelief and frustration. I pray for a good start, and I pray for a good end. Fulfillment of everything. Keep faith. Keep trust. Look at Yeshua. He's the main for us. Everything else is secondary. He is a salvation. When we speak about salvation, we don't speak about something, you know, some dreams. We speak about person, Yeshua, the Messiah. He who has Yeshua has salvation. Remember that. We all desire to see the Lord move in our days in mighty and great ways. Do we? For sure we want Him to move. But let us be humble enough to accept His direction. Not our direction for Him, but His direction for us. To follow Him anywhere He directs us. Even if it is in the opposite direction from what we may have expected. Please think about this. They prayed for Messiah to come, and when He came, they weren't able to see Him because they were expected somebody else. It is very important to remember. In the end, I want to encourage you to observe Passover with your own Seder, which you can do in a simple way with your family, tonight or tomorrow or whole week. You have plenty of time to do that. So thank you so much, and let us pray in the end. Let us stand together and close our service with Aaronic benediction to give glory to the Lord. And again, Chag Pesach Sameach. Have a beautiful time of Pesach. Remember Yeshua the Messiah, who is our Pesach, who is our Savior, who is our salvation. It is a beautiful time. Let's pray together. Yevarechecha Adonai veishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat Shalom. Chag Sameach. Shabbat Shalom.